Hi, my name is Peter Kofler. I am the Code Cop. Obviously, I'm fanatic about clean code. But in this podcast, I'm not talking about clean code. I'm talking about CodeAdrift facilitation. So I'm answering questions about CodeAdrift facilitation, hosting, and participation. If you're planning to run a CodeAdrift or a coding dojo or a hands-on meetup session or even a classic training, send me your questions and maybe I can help you. So one of the most common questions I'm asked about facilitating CodeAdrifts is if we should consider a minimum number of participants in order to run a CodeAdrift. Of course, when you organize a CodeAdrift, you need some people to be successful. So a good number would be 7 to 8 participants. Because the CodeAdrift is based on pair programming, we need 7 or 8 people so that everybody has a chance to pair with everybody. So there are no sessions pairing with the same people. So maybe if it's the first time in a city, 6 people are also good. Even 4 people could be fun. It's becoming more personal and more intense. If it is the first CodeAdrift in the area, I would still go with 4 people at least. So if you're setting up a registration on Eventbrite, for example, where people can secure their places, so maybe 4 people is a number, even for a global day of CodeAdrift event in a location that hasn't seen CodeAdrifts before, because people don't know what it is. So maybe only a few show up, so it's a good thing to start. You can have a really nice CodeAdrift even for a smaller number. Like in Vienna, we had an awesome CodeAdrift with 2 participants. So we were 3 people. Now, because we're only 3, there was no need to do any facilitation or anything. We just sat together and we were working on something that each of us was interested. It still was a CodeAdrift. We had 6 sessions. And we are keeping to the schedule. It was more light on facilitation. So that was great. So coming from this, I could say that you can have a CodeAdrift if there are 2 people showing up. So that's the minimum number for a CodeAdrift because they can pair, and that's what we need to do. On the last training for facilitators for the upcoming Global Day of CodeAdrift 2019, someone asked me what to do if there is no noticeable events during the session, and then in the retrospective, what should you ask? So what should you focus on if you didn't notice anything out of the ordinary special that you could base your retrospective on? And that's maybe a hard thing, because we want people to talk during retrospective, so I need something to like get them hooked or to get a starting question. But there are some starting questions that we could use even without understanding anything that happened in the session. For example, you could ask them if the session was fun. Hopefully someone says yes, it was fun. Or you could ask if it was more or less fun than the previous session, and then someone would say more. Unless, basically it doesn't matter what the answer is. And then you could say, why was that? And now we already have a good discussion. Because maybe it was more challenging, or it was more frustrating, or something happened. And then people start talking. And it's important to let them talk. So if there was nothing you want to focus on, or that was special to you, or you have any things you want to say as facilitator, just let people talk for the 5 minutes of the time that is scheduled for the retrospective. Maybe other people have similar experiences, so it can still be a great retrospective even without any interference from the facilitator. On the other hand, not everybody has to talk. So if like out of 10 people, 3 or 4 people said something and it was reasonable, and that might be okay for me. Like that's enough, so we can go for an early break maybe, or could be still a good retrospective. Recently I was asked how to help people get used to the exercise of Game of Life. Now Game of Life is the standard exercise for a CodeAdrift. I will talk about that another time. And the question was how we can help first-time participants so they already know the problem maybe and they are less challenged or less confused. So usually if you have a lot of first-timers, and in Vienna it's usually 50% or more people that are joining a CodeAdrift for the first time, you have to explain the rules and the task in detail during the intro of the day. So also it helps to have some posters of the rules on the walls maybe, or some handouts on the table. I used to have like printed paper on the tables with the rules or with the URL of Wikipedia. There is an awesome poster with the rules also by Marco Emmerich. So it shows the four rules in a graphical way. That's all great to put on the wall to remind people what's the problem about. So that's like explaining the problem. Then we can still give hints. Usually the first session, the code retreat, is just to explore the problem. So people would pair, maybe they would try to do TDD, but it's not focused. So you can say, let's try to do TDD, but then not push it. And so they should just explore the problem. So maybe they solve it in a way. It doesn't matter. They have to understand the requirements. Maybe they are looking at some animations on the web. So the goal is that they know what needs to be done. A very good constraint to achieve that is the pen and paper, also called, it's called no computers constraint. So if people only have a paper and they can draw something on there and they must not touch the computer, so they cannot write any code, they will naturally think about the problem. Maybe they play the game on paper, then they understand the rules, or they come up with some design, maybe they do some diagrams. So that's always helping to get people into the problem. One of the participants on one of my code retreat trainings said then he might offer the participants, first time participants, to try it up front. Yeah, maybe you could write it in the letter or in the registration that we are doing the game of life, and then people know it and they could try it if they want. I have never tried that. I would also expect that most people wouldn't do that up front because we are busy during day to day. But if someone would be anxious, so he could practice it up front. But then it doesn't matter. So if you want to try that, put it on your registration that you will work on Game of Life, because every code retreat works on the Game of Life. And so people have the opportunity to do it for themselves. Finally, having a fresh problem is part of the code retreat first time experience. Right? Experienced participants start complaining that they want to have a fresh problem because maybe Game of Life gets boring after 20 times, maybe after 30 times. I did it more than 50 times. It's still an awesome exercise for myself, but that's another story. Maybe I will talk about that in a later episode of this podcast. Yeah, that's all for today. Several hard questions I had to answer this time. I'm Peter Kofler, and I wish you luck with your next code retreat, and I'm looking forward to hear from you how your code retreat or hands-on event went.